And with the primary just a day away, we wanted to get a sense of how voters here are feeling and a little context from two longtime New Hampshire experts, starting with Laura Kanoy, host of The Exchange at New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm sitting in your seat right now, Laura. You're on the guest side of the table. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
And also with us is Dean Spiliotis, who's author of the website NH Political Capital and a civic scholar at Southern New Hampshire University. Hi, Dean.
Hi, good to be here.
It's great to have you. And I want to start with something that has really made a lot of headlines over the last couple of days. Two very famous women, Madeleine Albright and Gloria Steinem, have been talking in support of Hillary Clinton, and some people think they may have gone a bit too far. Let's listen here to Gloria Steinem on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher.
It's kind of not fair to measure most women by the standard of most men, because they're going to get more activists as they grow older. And when you're young, you're thinking, you know, where are the boys? The boys are with Bernie, or, you know.
Now, if I said that.
Steinem has since apologized for that. But we also had Madeleine Albright making comments about there being a special place in hell for women who don't support other women. Laura, what do you make of all that and how that might play here?
Well, I don't know if it'll play that well, Jeremy. And if you look at the poll numbers, especially younger women, the girls are with Bernie, picking up on what Gloria Steinem said there. Also, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright's special place in hell comment, made actually, by the way, at the middle school where Dean and I both have children. I don't think that's going to sit well in a lot of younger female ears, especially, who may feel like, look, Madeleine Albright, don't tell me who to vote for.
Dean?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I think that the Clinton campaign has been a little bit befuddled by the inability to connect with young female voters. There's a big generational divide there. And these, you know, young millennial voters who are in their 20s are 40 plus years younger than these women. It's just a different time. They're not familiar with the history. They're not familiar with the Clintons back in the 90s.
May not be even familiar with Gloria Steinem.
Absolutely. I mean, just I think the whole issue is just not really something they're focused on. Ironically, they seem to push back against the idea that gender should determine how they vote. And so I just think it's something they're going to have to deal with and figure out how to get around it.
Well, and there's also a lot of enthusiasm in this state, and we've been traveling around the state for Bernie Sanders. Let's listen to what he was doing over the weekend on Saturday Night Live. Here he is.
Enough is enough. We need to unite and work together if we're all going to get through this.
Sounds like socialism to me.
Democratic socialism.
What's the difference?
Huge difference.
Huge?
Huge.
That's, of course, Bernie Sanders there with Larry David, who plays him on Saturday Night Live these days. What about this huge enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders in this state, Dean?
He's doing really well. He's polling very strongly. You know, the New Hampshire has become an increasingly progressive state, like the Democratic Party as a whole, which seems to have moved to the left over the last 10 to 15 years or so. So there's kind of a built-in constituency for him here.
Does it matter that he's from the state next door?
This is something I've spent a lot of time talking about, interestingly enough. I sort of read a little bit less into that than some other people. You know, traditionally, successful neighboring candidates have come from Massachusetts. You can talk about,
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney's a classic example. John Kerry.
Paul Tsongas.
So you got all three from Massachusetts. You know, New Hampshire has an impact on the western part of the state, particularly the Connecticut River Valley. There's some media penetration. But, you know, I lived in the Upper Valley for almost 10 years, and we heard a heck of a lot more about Howard Dean when he was governor than we really did about Bernie Sanders. So sure, there's some aspect of that, but it's not really driving what we're seeing in his campaign.
Yeah, I would agree with that too, Jeremy, real quick. The Sanders voters that I hear from are no one is saying, you know, I'm just comfortable with Bernie because he's from Vermont. Mm. Everyone is passionate about Bernie because of his issues. It has, I would say, very little to do with Vermont, with all due respect to Senator Shaheen, who you just talked to.
What about on the other side, on the Republican side? Where's the momentum? Trump is leading in all these polls. You've got John Kasich, though, doing pretty well. Chris Christie had this big moment with Marco Rubio in the debate over the weekend. What do each of you see on the Republican side right now?
Well, it feels like the momentum, at least for the moment, is with the governors. We had the big debate Saturday night at St. Anselm, and all three of the Republican governors, Bush, Kasich, Kasich and Christie turned in strong performances. You know, Marco Rubio had this tremendous momentum coming out of his strong third place finish in Iowa, and this seems to have slowed that a little bit. You know, Donald Trump is still leading comfortably here. Ted Cruz, we've always had questions about where his natural constituency in the state is, just as we have about we had about Mike Huckabee in 08 and Rick Santorum in 2012. Those are the caucus winners. So right now the question is, can any of those three governors get the momentum, keep it, and maybe jump into second place behind Donald Trump?
Laura? Yeah, and I would say, Jeremy, I was at what I would call a bipartisan Super Bowl party on Sunday night, and Republicans and Democrats were both saying, wow, Chris Christie, that was amazing, and really recognizing that Marco Rubio didn't look good in those moments where he kept repeating the same canned responses. People here, Jeremy, you know, we listen very closely to what politicians say, and we key right into the fact that people are repeating the same line. When I have politicians on my show and they keep dodging the question, people will call into the show and say, you know, you're not answering her question. Mm. So people get it. You asked about John Kasich. He's had more of a steady-as-you-go campaign instead of a flavor-of-the-month or flavor-of-the-week campaign here in New Hampshire. He's gotten some key newspaper endorsements, key endorsements from respected politicians. Obviously, this is an anti-establishment year, so it's unclear how much sway that will have. But I did talk to somebody last night who told me that he normally votes Democratic, but he's going to vote for Kasich. To quote the guy, he said, what's wrong with him? He's got good experience and seems like a good guy.
In terms of sheer shoe leather, Kasich has done over 100 town hall meetings, which puts him up in John McCain territory. And Chris Christie has logged something like 70-plus days in the state, which is just remarkable as well.
You mentioned the Super Bowl, by the way. Last night, I went to go get a bite to eat at a restaurant in Manchester that was packed with journalists, of course. They've all got their laptops out. I've never seen a place with fewer people actually watching the TV with the Super Bowl on. They're all worried about the Super Bowl tomorrow, the primary. How much do the polls really matter? Because I do remember 8 years ago, the polls were saying that Obama was going to win in New Hampshire, and he didn't.
Well, I'd like to talk about that. Yeah, there are polls, and then there are polls. The UNH poll is the gold standard here in New Hampshire, and they almost always get it right. But these days, and you know this, Jeremy, there are so many, many polls. Some households just ignore them. Others, at mine included, get answered by children. and some households never get called. At my house, we're called, no exaggeration, at least three times, if not four times a day. One of my producers has yet to get a single call. Hmm. So it kind of depends on which poll you're talking about.
Well, and there are also these people who make up their mind at the very last minute. We spoke Colin Jackson, who's a sophomore at the University of New Hampshire, and he told us he's deciding between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. And here's what he had to say about his explanation for that.
Economically, I feel like we need one extreme or the other in order to get real action. If we stay right in the middle, then we're just going to continue on the path that we've had.
Dean, how important are these voters who haven't made up their mind going to be in deciding who wins?
Well, they can potentially be important. I think sometimes we tend to read a little too much into the large block of independents we have. We have about 44% of our electorate are independent voters, these undeclared voters. You can go into the ballot box, pick either ballot and vote Republican or Democratic for the day. And so, you know, of that 40 to 45%, you know, maybe 10 to 15% are true independents. But nonetheless, in a close race, you know, particularly on the Republican side where you've got four or five candidates bunched together, 10 or 15% unpredictability can be problematic. And, you know, the polls have been all over the map this time around. It's very hard to measure what happens in the last weekend because there's no time to field a legitimate poll. So we don't really know kind of the final dynamic. And I think there's a tendency to read a little too much into them. And people also self-select on the polls that kind of say what they want to hear in terms of who's going to win. So they're a useful, rough guide, but you can't put too much stock in any one particular result.
And people have said over and over again that this is a very different campaign than we've seen in years past. One of the things that you have noticed, Laura, is that some of the candidates who in the past everybody had to come on your show, talk to you, talk to the voters who listened to your program. And this year, because it's a bit more of a national primary, they haven't had to.
Well, you're right, Jeremy. And in one sense, this primary does to me feel like an old-fashioned New Hampshire primary with, you know, house parties, especially at the beginning. You know, little events at diners and so forth. But yes, in another sense, it feels very rushed. It feels very nationalized. From my own selfish perspective, candidates this time are more than ever just not interested in sitting down on the exchange on NHPR for an hour and having an in-depth conversation with me and our listeners, our callers. We've talked to seven this season, which sounds like a lot, but it's really not that much when you consider how many candidates there are. Many of them this year, Jeremy, only want to do 40 minutes. They don't want to do a whole hour. Hmm. They want to be in and out. You know, whereas compared to the past, I interviewed John McCain 4 times, I interviewed John Kerry 3 times. You know, they were happy to sit down for the full hour on multiple occasions. Now, if you get them at all, it's only once and often not for a full hour.
Yeah, and I think changes in the campaign environment in recent years, I think for me, I think driven by changes in technology, which kind of nationalizes attention to the primary and then all the big money, it means that candidates' attention is somewhat fragmented and splintered. And so it's a lot harder for them to focus on any one particular entity at a given time. And plus, it's just been a really large field. It's as a more of a chaotic field than we've had in other years.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one more question, and you have 10 seconds each because we're running out of time here. Should New Hampshire still be the first in the nation primary? Dean?
Sure, absolutely. You know, we have the civic-minded citizens. We have the kind of intimate space in which to engage in retail politics. And we have a long grassroots tradition of representation here that is perfect for it.
Laura?
Now with South Carolina and Nevada getting as much attention as New Hampshire, I think why not?
What a surprise that the two people in New Hampshire think that the state should be first. Laura Kanoy, host of The Exchange here on New Hampshire Public Radio, and Dean Spiliotis of NH Political Capital. Thank you so much to both of you.
You're welcome. Okay.